Welcome to Grace Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Thank you for joining us on Sunday evening, August the 4th, 2013.
Well, we're going to start off with a song tonight, and then Fred Bennett's going to come and open in prayer and say a few words as we begin our program tonight. Why don't you stand with me, and let's sing together, "Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise."
Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise.
I was very excited and I felt honored when Andrew asked me to come up and say a few words at the beginning. And this has been an exciting summer. I had an ordination service in Birmingham for a young man that I've been mentoring about 15 years. And now to see Andrew and Mary, an honorable young man and woman. I've had to confess the sin of envy because I've envied your parents, both of you. Everybody in here who's a parent would love to be able to say that you are our son, you are our daughter, and that's the way the Lord feels about you too. I'm afraid that some of us are going to soften up because they're going to a friendly country, Togo, a very Christianized country, Togo. And maybe because of that, maybe because of the fact that they're not going into an area that we would necessarily consider dangerous, maybe it's going to soften up our prayers for them a little bit. But I'd like to remind us tonight that this is not a soft continent that he's going to. They are going to a continent that is about to be overrun by Islam. And I guarantee you, on the Islamic plan for the next 10 years, Togo is a target in that plan. They want places that they can control. They want places that they can go after the people. And as I was reading in Revelation this afternoon, which, by the way, except for the fact that Jesus hasn't come, we're in Revelation because three different times in the book of Revelation, there are lists of the six predominant sins during the tribulation time. Listen to what they are and see if this is not right now. Idol worship, demonism, drugs, immorality, murder, and lies. During the Revelation time, those are the prevalent sins. During the tribulation time, those are the prevalent sins. Those are the prevalent sins now. So I want to take just a moment from Revelation 14, and I want to challenge the two of you to be, and I want to challenge all of us to be the tribulation soldiers that are spotlighted in Revelation 14, those 144,000 men who are called the first fruits of God. And that's the challenge for all of us. If we're living in the same kind of a world that these men are living in, then what is necessary for them to be able to penetrate their world is exactly what we must have prevalent in our lives, and you must have prevalent in your life to penetrate the world that you're going to. Now, I like the fact that they're called the first fruits to God. The first fruits offering was brought in the spring. The farmer would bring a sheaf of grain, gave it to the priest, and it was lifted up and waved. When I read that this afternoon, I thought of your parents, both of your parents, making you first fruits offering when you were born. That's why we bring babies up. We don't baptize them. We don't bring them to Christ when they're little. We give them as first fruits offerings to God. And these men were, and you've already been offered that way. But there's another first fruits offering that I am reminded of when I read this and I think about you all. You've done that for yourselves. You have offered your wife and your children up to the Lord after you offered yourself up to the Lord. And He is so pleased with that. And that's what is necessary to send those men out into an awful world. And that's what's necessary for you to be able to go out into that awful world today. And that's what's necessary for us to be able to reach this awful world that we're living in, is to bring ourselves, first of all, and everything we have, and just lift them up and wave them before the Lord and say, first, it's yours. And if you want me to use any of these things, then you can give them back to me. I look and see and hear these people had a pure name. They had the name of the Father written on their foreheads. They had pure hearts. Their mouths were pure. These were awesome people. But the coolest thing in this whole passage is it says, they follow the Lamb wherever He goes. Two times Jesus is called the Lamb in this passage. When we used to raise sheep, I'm not going to tell farm stories, okay? But when we raise sheep, there are always some whose mothers could not feed them. So we would take a bottle and put a special made nipple on it, and we would feed them by hand. And when you open the gate, they would follow you anywhere, just like you were their parent. Well, these guys are said to follow the Lamb wherever He goes. The same word that's used here is the word that Jesus used when He said to the disciples, follow me. It means to accompany me, walk the same road. Now, Jesus is already walking the roads in Togo, and He is already walking ahead of you as you go over there in a few months after you learn the language. He's walking ahead of you to Canada. There are people for you to reach there. But it's so exciting to me that everybody in here looks at you and they can see that you are following the Lamb. Man, this is an awesome moment for the Lord, first of all. He's most excited of anybody here tonight. But the rest of us are getting in on it. And we celebrate you tonight. And our Sunday school class is honored to pray for you and to support you all. And we just pray God's best, biggest blessings. And we still envy that you are not our son and daughter. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we give ourselves to you tonight for these folks, that we want our minds to be open and our hearts to be listening at untimed moments when you remind us to pray for them, when they are in ways of hazard, when they are under stress and dark spiritual warfare, and you need us to stand with them. Lord, we want to listen and we want to hear you when you say, please pray for the wards now. For the sons, Lord, these little boys, these folks have targets on them. The country of Togo has a target on it. And Lord, the evil one, not the evil people, because those Arabs that are trying to take over Africa are your cousins, and you're appearing to them in dreams, and you're trying to bring them to yourself. So I pray for our friends as they go to try and do the same thing, as they follow you wherever you go. Lord God, please help us to follow you in the way that they are following you now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I'm going to sing another song tonight. The songs that we're singing tonight are chosen by Andrew and Mary, and some songs that mean that are special to them. Hope they're encouragement to you tonight. Jesus Saves. We've heard the joyful sound.
We have heard the joyful sound. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Jesus saves, Jesus saves.
Without wavering, for the one who promised is faithful.
In July 2011, we were officially appointed as missionaries to Togo, West Africa. On August 28, 2011, we had our first church meeting, and that was only the beginning, because over the next 2 years we had meetings with over 30 church families and visited many more. We were always excited to share the need for Christian education in Togo. In January of 2012, we took our survey trip to Togo. We were so excited to meet many teachers of the Christian schools and see the difference they're making in the lives of the children in their classes. One teacher said that a woman in his village sends her son to the Christian school. She wouldn't listen to anyone tell her the gospel, but now her son takes his homework to her every night, and God reveals his good news to her in the form of his memory verses. We've considered ourselves missionaries from the moment we were appointed. We spread the word about what God is doing in Africa, and we've encouraged other people to partner with us. We didn't do it for monetary gifts, because we know that God will always provide for us in His own way. We did it for the fruit that would increase to your account, because Jesus said it is more blessed to give than to receive.
We spent a lot of time in the van as our travels took us everywhere from Warren, Ohio, to Mobile, Alabama, to Miami, Florida. And the kids got pretty good at sitting through long drives. I drove most of the way, but we did trade off occasionally.
We put almost 100,000 miles on our minivan, but we had to say goodbye to it on a Virginia highway. Thankfully, God was faithful, and He provided us a van through one of our friends.
I left my job at Costco in September 2012 when we were only 25% supported. We knew that we needed to trust God to provide for us, and He did it quickly and abundantly.
Over the last 2 years, we've experienced God's faithfulness to us as He's added partners to our ministry. The stones on this church building represent those partners, and we've watched the walls fill up. We're very excited to announce that He has brought us to full funding in His perfect timing.
We moved out of our house, which has been our home for the last 3 years. We've been working on our language skills, and now we're headed to Quebec to study French full-time before we move to Togo.
As our sending church, we want you to know how much we appreciate your partnership with us as we go to Togo.
Notice the ending song there was "Lord, Send Me Anywhere," and Andrew, when he brought the music to me the other day, I was thinking I haven't seen this song in a long time, so I started searching for it, and some great lyrics here. So the last song that we sing tonight, "O Lord, since Thou hast died to give Thyself for me, no sacrifice could be too great for me to make for Thee." Sing that with me.
O Lord, since Thou hast died to give Thyself for me, no sacrifice could be too great for me to make for Thee. Lord,
Andrew is one of my oldest friends. No, he's not. Some of you are older than him, and you're my friends, too. Andrew's one of my longest friends, and we have grown up together. I think we were even probably in the same kindergarten class, and also in some of the same seminary classes. So, and then even since then, we have spent a lot of time together discussing things on the golf course and lots of places. So he has done a lot for me as a friend. He's been there for things that I've gone through, and I hopefully the same for him. And he has helped us out a lot recently, even in our youth ministry, the last year leading a small group of guys. And so now he is... It's obvious that he's involved already in disciple making, and so now he is just going to extend that ministry to another part of the world. And so Sean is here. Sean is one of the guys who actually was in Andrew's small group this year. Sean is going to pray, and then I'm going to pray also.
Let's pray. Dear God, help the wards as they're raising the funds for their trip to Togo, that they will be able to do that. And help them to have a safe trip to their destination, and help them to learn the language and spread the gospel to the people. In Jesus' name, amen.
Father, thank you for the example of Andrew and Mary and their family, and the heritage they have and also the heritage that they're passing on already. Thank you for their faithfulness. Thank you for their obedience, the way that we see it in action regularly around here, in their involvement, in their devotion to you and to your word and to the truths of it and to making it known to others. Lord, we see that passion that they have, and it's contagious and it spreads even to us. We know that you have gone ahead of them. We thank you that in each step of the way you've showed yourself faithful up to this point. We know you'll do the same going forward. Lord, I know I'm so grateful personally for the pattern that they've set for our young people, the inspiration that they've been to myself and to our teenagers and to my own family. Lord, you have given them as a pattern of faithfulness to all of us. Keep them faithful, keep them close to yourself, go with them and sustain them in what they're going to be doing from here on out. Lord, let us be faithful as we do our part. Lord, let us be faithful in praying and in sending and in giving and in supporting. And as they go and we stay and we fulfill whatever mission you've given to us, Lord, let us lift each other up to you constantly, for we're all involved in your work here around the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I have been asked by Andrew and Mary to bring the charge to the church. That's us. And as I prayed and pondered, I found myself in Philippians chapter 1. Now, we have to keep in mind, when we look at the context, Paul is not necessarily serving as the Philippian church's missionary. Paul's in prison. But Paul is being supported and prayed for by these folks. And Philippians is partly a thank you letter for an offering that they've sent to Paul, because him being in prison in Rome, if someone doesn't give to feed you, you die. They didn't provide for their prisoners. And so these folks gave. They gave lavishly. But I want to just kind of use this first part of Philippians to kind of set our context tonight and just a charge to us briefly. First of all, I want us to remember that this is a gospel thing. This is a gospel thing. Look at Paul's words in chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. He says, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Your partnership in the gospel. This event tonight is not primarily about missionaries going out. It's about the kingdom going forward. It's about our church and individuals in our church investing in what we see as strategic for the propagation of the message of Christ as the perfect substitute for man's sin debt provided by God. It's about the possibility, and in faith, us believing that lives are going to be transformed as they hear and are enabled by the Spirit to respond to truth. So, first of all, this is a gospel thing. And Paul says, in your offering that you've given, in your prayers, and in sending Epaphroditus as a servant to me, you are continuing to participate in a partnership of the gospel. Not a partnership of Paul, but a partnership of the gospel. So this is a gospel thing. But secondly, this is a family thing. This is a family thing. Look at verses 7 and 8. He says, it's right for me to feel this way about you all because I hold you in my heart. For you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. These folks are an extension of this local body. They're going into places that we can't all go together, although I'm sure they would be thrilled if we would go with them. I'm not sure Togo would be thrilled to see us. Me. Okay. We support them as family. We support them as family. And yes, as has already been mentioned probably more than once, we support them financially. Agreed. But you guys, having come from looking at this from both sides, having been on the field and been supported by a local church and also being a part of supporting others, what I see also that is very vital for us as a church is that we're also charged to support them spiritually. And here's what I mean by this. And this is how the Lord has been challenging me lately. So this kind of flows out of something God's been doing in my own heart. Missionaries, pastors, full-time Christian workers are not a cut above sanctification. We are all pastors, Christian workers, missionaries, we are all joined together in a process of being sanctified and growing in our understanding of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. No matter what the qualifications might look like on paper and how many degrees and experience and sense of calling, God is primarily concerned about character, not calling. Calling flows out of character. And when we talk about missions, when we talk about serving in any aspect, it is an overflow of what God is doing in us. It is an inside work that will let the outside know. And so my charge to us is that we have to keep in mind that as we celebrate what God has been doing in Andrew and Mary's life and them being sent forward, that God is still growing them. And I remember before I went to Venezuela for the first time, a veteran missionary saying this to me, "Do you know your spiritual weaknesses?" He said, "Do you know your flesh patterns? Because when you get to the mission field, they're going to be magnified." Well, that was sobering. Pray for them. Pray that their ministry would flow out of hearts of worship. When missionaries, pastors, anyone in the church starts to look for their significance, their identity, and what they're doing in service, we get dry spiritually. We get cynical about people. And what we're doing becomes more a job than an overflow of a heart of worship. And so, some of us here need to right now write down a date, just a random date, and say, "I'm going to write or I'm going to call. I want to ask how they're doing and I want to know their hearts. I want to know what's going on inside. And how can we pray specifically for you?" Ministry flows out of a heart of worship. And so, yes, we support financially, but also we need to be deeply concerned with what's going on in their hearts and that their hearts are encouraged in Christ. So, number one, it's a gospel thing. Number two, this is a family thing. And then finally, this is a kingdom thing. Look at Paul's words in verse 12. Paul's giving a report. "I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel." The word "advance" there means the chopping forward, the moving forward of the gospel. There's an accountability that goes with this investment. And listen, folks, it's not about numbers of people being saved. It's about faithfulness. And I remember Amy and I years ago talking about faithful missionaries in Germany and what a hard place it's been. And it's just thinking that God is as much glorified and pleased with faithful workers who are just walking with Jesus and abiding in him as he is some megachurch pastor somewhere. We tend to glorify numbers. And what God is concerned with is faithfulness. And so we want to know what's going on. And we look forward to celebrating with you, not just when you come back someday, but in your letters, different things like that, as a family celebrating with you what God's doing. But finally, this part of this kingdom thing, I want us to remember that It's a kingdom thing. Paul says, I want you to know what's going on in my life, but look back at verse 6. You thought I missed it, didn't you? Verse 6, Paul says, I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you, not just in me, in you, will bring it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus. That we're not paying them to go out and do a job so that we don't have to do it. We're not exempt. To be joined to Jesus is to be joined to Jesus' mission. So they're just living out that mission on a different continent. But we are all to be a part of participating in the forward movement of the kingdom and the gospel. Look at this last verse here. This is actually Amy and I's verse for our marriage and what we believe God's called us to. And I think, as I think about Andrew and Mary, but as I think about us as a church, I think this is a great way to wrap this up. Verse 27 of chapter 1, only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come to see you or am absent, I may hear of you, look at this, that you are standing firm in one spirit with one mind, and this is what we're called to do with Andrew and Mary, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. Thank you, church.
My life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Feet and let them be swift and beautiful for Thee, swift and beautiful for Thee. Take my will and make it Thine, it shall be no longer mine. Take my heart, it is Thine own, it shall be Thy royal throne, it shall be Thy royal throne.
Well, it befalls me to give the charge to the missionaries, and which, of course, is also a charge for all of us at this time. And so let's talk to the Lord yet again. Father, for Andrew and Mary, we thank you. We thank you for the way you've cared for them, the way you've brought in the support, Father, the way you've helped them through all of the many miles of Prefield, Father. We pray that you'll help them as they finish up going to language school, that you'll bring in the additional money they need for their outfit and passage, Father, and that you'll continue to give them all that they need, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as I think about this, and I think about it in the context of what the Scripture says, obviously, you'd want to go to a missionary, and so you go to the Book of Acts, and I just think I'm going to get a little closer to the action here, and all. But Acts 14, and in Acts 14, you get some very specific things that the Lord does and tells missionaries. And really, when you stop and think about it, this is. This is really Paul the missionary, and we're really following his footsteps after he comes in from his first missionary journey. And the stuff that Paul did in that first missionary journey, that's the pattern, and that's been the pattern for missionaries all through the years. I remember years and years ago, Steve Wingate coming in and sharing and talking to us about what he was doing in Hungary. And he went to this passage, and I believe it was this passage, and talked about these things. So there's about four or five things here in chapter 14, verse 21. And so Paul, when he came, the first thing he mentions, it says, and when they had preached the gospel to that city. That's number one, preaching the gospel. You know, you talk a lot about Christian education, and you talk a lot about the help and the things that that you're doing from the standpoint of all of the different things that you're going to be involved with over there. There's hospital ministries, there's the blind center, there's just all sorts of things. And at really the bedrock function and purpose of all of this, it's to preach the gospel. That's why what God has asked you to do. And of course, you got to know what the gospel is, because you know the gospel. When you took your seminary classes, they probably made you study that word, and you went back to 1 Corinthians 15 and the gospel message: death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what changes people, and so. You know, the gospel's not holding a sign up saying John 3:16 at the Super Bowl. It's proclaiming and specifically telling people that Jesus saves. And, of course, you emphasize that in your program tonight. I don't have any doubt that the two of you know what the gospel is and that you're going to share that. It's going to be, I think your life's going to get busy. And I think there's going to be a ton of things to do. And God's given you the start of a really great family, and I know that in the years to come, Harry would be very, and B would be very excited to know that there was a whole ball team out there being developed and everything. So, but what I'm saying is, I'm saying the gospel. That's number one. Secondly, well, you notice in this text it says, and they made many disciples, and they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch. They made disciples. And disciple making, that's a pretty specific thing, really, when you look in the New Testament, isn't it? And in the Great Commission, it of course, the imperative there is not the word go. That's the assumption there. Going, make disciples. And the whole process of making disciples, that's been emphasized. And Kelly talked about following Jesus, and that's really what it's all about, following the Lord Jesus Christ, encouraging people to follow Him. People just don't automatically become disciples, but somebody's got to take the time and got to spend time with them and point them to the Scriptures and help them develop godly habits. And so now we're talking about spending time in the Word of God. We're talking about memorizing Scripture. We're talking about prayer. We're talking about any of a variety of different sorts of things. We call those spiritual disciplines. And basically, it's learning the heart of Jesus. And so making disciples, that's part and parcel of it. Verse 22, the third element that's mentioned, strengthening the souls of these disciples. And the way they were strengthened was they exhorted them to continue in the faith, saying that we must, through many tribulations, enter into the kingdom of God. So they're strengthening souls. In fact, that's a phrase that occurs a variety of times in the book of Acts. They were strengthening the spiritual life of these believers. And that's God's called you to strengthen people's lives. And that's a tough project. We listen to lots of missionary presentations all through the years, and there's all different kinds of things that people have used with great effect to being involved in the lives of people. And sometimes it's making Christmas cookies, so I don't see that necessarily as something that's going to happen for you, Andrew. But you know, sometimes it's doing other kinds of things. It's projects and working together. And maybe in a country like Togo, traveling together and helping in a variety of things, but encouraging and strengthening the souls of believers. So he tells us, number three, exhorting them to continue in the faith. And that's a tough one there, really, when you stop and think about it, because you're really looking for people that are going to be into this thing long term. And they're going to make that commitment, and they need to understand that when they receive Jesus as their Savior, they can just expect that they're going to have difficulties and pressures and troubles. And so consequently, that's so important that they respond to him in this way. And then there's a fourth element here. So when they had appointed elders in every church. And you see, that's part and parcel of it, is the establishment of leadership in local churches. Well, now, the assumption there is that they're planting churches. So as good as schools are important and schools are significant. But what's more important than schools? Churches. And you see, that's part and parcel of what we have to be about. You might remember one time we talked about the church planting ministers in Togo, and Harry and I were having this long discussion about Tim Matchett and Randy. What was Randy's last name? Randy Alderman and Tim Tucker, just a whole array of people, and then over a period, and then Ted Austin, and then a number of folks left that field where there was a limited number of people, and that's not to minimize any of these other ministries, not at all. But ultimately, everything we're pointing people back to is the ministry of the local church. That's the ministry that God has promised to bless, and that's the ministry that God has asked us to do. And so as you look at the text, it says that they appointed leadership. They appointed elders in every church. And finally, the fifth element there, they prayed with fasting and commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. It was prayer, and it was just a pretty serious prayer. It was prayer with fasting. And that's probably a word that's sort of gone out of use in this day and time. But there's just a lot of things that you're going to be called on to do. And you're going to look at those things and you're going to say, how in the world is this going to get done? And the only way it's going to get done is if the Lord does it. It's interesting. It's been a lot of years ago now, but on Wednesday nights, I used to read all the missionary letters. We get a letter in and I'd take time and read the letters and all. When we had a regular Wednesday night service and everything. And I remember we got a letter from Gary Googe, who was in France. And Gary was in language school, and I have forgotten where that was, but he was in the middle of nowhere. And he and Janet always went out on a shoestring, and they had some needs. And they sat down and they began to think, well, boy, how in the world is this going to happen? And the first thing they thought about is, well, let's just talk to our supporters. Let's contact them. Let's let them know we've got some needs and we've got some stuff going on and some things that are happening in our lives. And somewhere in the middle of all of that, Gary and Janet got to thinking about it. And they said, you know, the answer is not. America is not the lifeline we need spiritually. The lifeline we need spiritually is for the Lord to do this and for us to see Him do it. He may bring the money from the States, but let's just let the Lord decide how that was all to happen. And so he and Janet didn't tell many people about it at all. In fact, I don't think they told anybody, but they prayed and they talked to the Lord of the harvest. And you know what happened? Gary gave the suggestion and gave the testimony. He said, you know, the Lord solved that need, solved that financial need. And he said, you know, the money didn't come from our supporting churches, didn't come from our family. It didn't come from anyone else. The money came from actually some people that were in, some French believers there that were involved in the language school ministry there that had a need. And he says it was at that time, Gary said, if you remember the letter, and it's been a long time ago to remember these things, he said, it was at that time I realized that God wasn't just listening to North American Christians. God is the God of the world. And He solves problems on a much larger scale than any of us could begin to think about these things. I think you're going to do great. I really do. I think the Lord's going to use you. I think He's going to give you fruit. And I think that above everything else, He's going to bless your lives in special, special ways. And I'm a little bit like Fred. I'm envious to realize that what God's going to do in your life and how He's going to bless you. And thank you for serving the Lord, loving the Lord, loving each other. And we pray that the Lord will just do some special, special things for you in the days to come. I think it's going to be exciting to see that. You know, there's one more thing, one or two more things that we've got set, and I left all my notes up here. Not a good idea. We're going to take an offering for them, and in taking this offering, I want you to understand their support's all raised, but they have a $12,000 need for outfit and passage. And what they've got to have is they've got to have the cash in hand or the promise of the cash in hand in order to really be able to go to language school. And so we're part of the answer to that prayer. And so I encourage you to give and to give generously. Unless otherwise designated, this offering's going to go to the wards and to the ministry that they have in Togo. Men, if you'll come at this time. Tom Crum, will you pray for this offering, please? Okay, we are going to ask the wards to come and to sit here in these chairs, and I want to point you to one other passage of Scripture in the book of Acts, chapter 13, the statement that's given to us. It says that, now the church that was at Antioch, there was certain prophets and teachers and so forth, and as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, "Separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them." And having fasted and prayed, they laid hands on them and sent them away. And that's a little bit about what we're doing at this time. And so Scott is going to pray here in just a moment, but we're going to ask our board and our staff and any of our ordained men in the audience to come, and we're going to lay hands on them. And let me just mention that this service, I was going to say it's being carried on the Armed Forces Network, but that's not exactly accurate. I think we're on Skype, and I think that B is in Togo listening, and I think Ann and Vitaly are in the Ukraine, and I think Jeff Raymond is listening from probably the wilds of Harrisburg. And then let me also say that here tonight, the Leathers, who are going to Togo, actually going to language school here very soon, are actually participating here in the service. And Judy Bowen is in the back, and I don't know, was with us this morning. So there's lots of folks, lots of interest in this. And Scott, are you ready to pray?
Just wanted to charge us as a church, and also for Andrew and Mary. I've gotten to know them over the last couple of years, and was able to be, as a church representative, to support them as they joined ABWE, went through some of their instruction. I got to work with Andrew this year in the accountability group with the teens. I am so thankful that we have gotten to know each other a little bit better. I also want to encourage us as a church to enthusiastically support them in prayer. One of the things that's missing in the Christian life oftentimes is this zeal and excitement about what we do and about the God that we serve. Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 12 are a key passage in that, in knowing that. I want Mary and Andrew to understand that this part of their ministry is not the least important, it is the most important. Missionaries are made and broken on the anvil of language school. We must commit 100% to learning the language, to decode the culture, and this is the first step. There's going to be trials. Beth Ann and I lost Odessa in language school. She went to be with the Lord 6 months into our language school. We had, as Kelly eloquently put, we struggled with the areas that we were blindsided by in our Christian life, the fears, the things that we face during language school. And so they're going to face these very same things. And because they're away from us, the tendency for us is going to be to forget or to only think about them when we see a prayer letter or when something is mentioned. They need to be sustained by our prayer each and every day. So pencil them in. Pencil them in. We're so thankful to send them out. This is a commissioning service. We have seen them to be fit, and with a partnership with ABWE, we are sending them to Togo. And this is a great honor. God is using our church. God is using our own. And let's continue that cycle. Let's not, as a church, be caught up in our own sin that we stop being able to send out people. May we also commit others and pray for them and ourselves go and help Andrew and Mary, because we're going to have the opportunity to serve with them on the field. So let's do that. And let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we lift this dear couple up to you. And Lord, we do not have any idea about what they're about ready to face. The sanctification and the difficulties that they're going to face, the joys of going through language school, of learning and decoding the language and then being able to communicate to others and learning their culture. But Lord, we have three motivating factors in our life. The first one, and Lord, is that we have a hope of your return. And Lord, we long for that, and that is our motivation. We ask that you just help this couple, that they will understand this hope and will be able to communicate it in the French language. We also, Lord, pray that they will, at the same time that they are looking for this hope, that they will be patient in tribulation. Lord, we know that suffering is part of your will. Your word says this in 1 and 2 Peter, that we will suffer and this is your will. The world will see that we are suffering. It's not something that we ask for, but Lord, we submit to you. And I ask that you help Andrew to lead their young family and submit to your will as they go through these difficult trials. First is submitting to a language, submitting to a school. Help him not to be prideful. Help him to give a 110% as he studies. Help Mary that she doesn't say, well, I'm just going to stay back with the kids, that she will also put 110%. And we just pray for them during this time. And as they move through transitions of culture from Canada to Togo, we lift them up to you. And lastly, Lord, we know that we need to sustain them in prayer. Just like breathing, prayer is our spiritual breathing. As we think about Andrew and Mary, Lord, help us to pray for them. Help us to think about them, to put their names on our refrigerator, put their prayer cards in a rotating file so that we can pray for them often during this time. This shouldn't be the least time we pray for them. This next year or however long that they are in language school should be the most time that we pray with them, because this is foundational. We thank you, Lord, for their lives. We thank you for Harry and Bea, who have run a great race and been an example to them. We thank you for this church that continues to be used of you to send out people, to love people all over the world. And Lord, help us to remain faithful. Help us to shun sin and to have a fervent, bubbling relationship with the Holy Spirit, that our zealous and our zeal and our enthusiasm for you is contagious here in Chattanooga and all over the world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, I think that we're going to let you escape to the fellowship hall, and we're having a reception back there, and I was thinking I wanted to do something extra special for this reception. What do you suppose I have back there for you?
Rhubarb pie.
No rhubarb pie. That would have been really special. Something.
Egg salad
sandwiches. Okay, now, here's what you need to understand. These are special egg salad sandwiches. Oh, I've got some kind of an English mustard, but this egg salad is taken from eggs with free-range chickens. This is a healthy egg salad, so, you know, go ahead. We'll let you go forward. This is just something to anticipate. Well, I think that they'll be excited to greet you in the back, and thank you so much for coming. Lots of things going this week. We're praying particularly for the school ministry and the opportunities God gives us to minister in the community and everything. So we pray about those things, and I think that next week we're going to have a children's choir program. Is that right? And so we're looking forward to that, and we were going to have fireworks at 4th of July, but that's not happening. That's going to happen next week, right? So there'll be fireworks, so we can look forward to that on Sunday Sunday evening after the service and everything. The Leathers are here. You want to greet them and talk to them. And then, of course, Judy's back there. And, of course, I know we have others. Yes. Bob Schramm. That's right. I forgot. Bob was working on his son's car. And I'm not sure just what happened, but they had the car. They had started the car, and the car was in gear, and they were doing something, and for some reason, it started moving forward. It wasn't, no one was hitting the gas pedal, but it was moving forward, and Bob actually got run over by the car in some fashion that it busted his kneecap. Jeremy, who's a pretty good-sized boy, was able to stop the car. Bob was able to get up and to go around and put the car in park, and there's a lot of details there. I'm not really sure I understand. But he'll have to go to the doctor tomorrow. So that's you got the announcement on the prayer chain. So I don't think it's as it's not what it might well have been. Lord bless you. Have a great evening.
Thank you for worshiping with us today. Grace Baptist Church exists to glorify God by knowing Him through His Word, loving Him through worship and obedience, and serving Him by caring for others. For more information about our ministries, please go to www.aboutgracebaptist.org. See you next time.